Tonight on the Mac, To the Future live cast, go! Mixed reviews for some of the Apple TV Plus offerings. Disney Plus to be available on the 12th of November. Maybe some new stuff for tomorrow. And Dave has a review of the AirPods Pro after his trip to Vegas, baby. All tonight on the Mac, To the Future, go! Live cast. I don't know why I'm going like this. I don't know. And hello, everyone. How are you this evening? I am Guy Searle, your humble host of the Mac to the Future Go live cast. No Warren tonight, but we do have Mr. Dave Ginsburg. David, how are you, sir?
I am doing great. How are you tonight? Recovering from a bit of a cold, but I think I sound okay.
You sound great.
I was sick in Vegas, baby. So that did. Then there wasn't exactly that much as enjoyable as it could have been, but I made the best of it.
Was it just you, or did the wife go with you?
Just me.
Was this business, or?
It was pleasure. It was pleasure.
Oh, nice. So, I think I've said this before. I have never been to Vegas. I would love to go to Vegas.
It still boggles my mind all the years you've gone to Macworld and all these other places, and you've never been to Las Vegas. No, and I will be going to the Consumer Electronics Show in January, so you'll be hearing more from me and, about all the things in Vegas.
I've been to 70 countries around the world. I've been to, I think, 28
but not Las Vegas,
different states in the United States, including Hawaii. But no, I've never been to Vegas. I would love to go to Vegas.
A trip must ensue.
Yeah, I don't know, because I know they have like lots of cheap subsidized flights because they want you to go out there and gamble and spend money.
Is that
kind of going away now?
It's changing. A lot more people are going to Vegas because they want to see shows. They want to see the different things that are out there and not just gambling.
Right.
I think they're starting, especially all these states have now already approved gambling across the country. It's more and more.
Yeah.
It's going to have to start reinventing itself a little bit. It's not like the big thrill of being able to bet a sports get on a sports game, make a sports bet.
Or even just regular gambling. I mean, I went to, not last weekend before that, my wife and I went to the Ravens game.
Yeah.
Who were they? I can't even remember who they were playing now. It was a much closer game than it should have been. Oh, I think the Cardinals. And there's a casino. We used to park, and I know this has nothing to do with Mac or anything. We're just talking right now. There used to be this series of warehouses right by the M&T Bank Stadium for the Ravens that we used to park, and it was like $35, to park. No big deal. Now they got this huge casino there, and I mean it's full on gambling. They've got all the card games. They've got, of course, the slot machines and sports betting and all the rest of it. Now it's $80 to park at the casino in the very same place where we used to park before. And the thing that makes me crazy about that is they charge so much that I have absolutely no incentive to stay after the game or go there early before the game and spend a little money on gambling. So you're going to charge me $80 to park in this great big parking deck that is typically, hardly has anybody in it. So you can gouge me this $80. Well, you know what? That's $80 that I may have spent on gambling, but not going to do it now. I mean, that's nuts. Yeah. And yes, Frank, I have been to South Jersey. I was there last year for a very, very odd wedding. I think I talked about the odd wedding before, so I won't go
into another story.
That's another story. Yeah, don't get me started here. Don't get me started. Okay,
let's get our quick takes in.
All right, some quick takes. Apple puts $2.5 billion in an effort to tackle the homeless issue close to home. Now, this is in the Southern California area, you know, where San Francisco and Silicon Valley and all the rest of this is. And a lot of people are criticizing Apple for only spending $2.5 billion, saying that, you know, that Apple
only
created the problem, so they should be spending more than what they are without going, you know. And here's the thing, you know, Apple is a major employer in the tech area, in the San Francisco, Silicon Valley area. And yes, has their presence led to some homeless, or not homeless, to housing prices going higher? Sure. What would you have rather them do? Not come at all? Just take all of their stuff out of California and move it someplace else? You know, I mean, it's, I just don't get it. It's like, on one hand, yes, Apple is paying a lot of money into San Francisco, even before all of this, in taxes. All the employees that are working for Apple in the area are paying taxes. And you want to complain about it. I just don't get it. I don't understand. I don't understand the mindset.
Yeah, I mean, I just, come on. I mean, what company is obligated to do this? I mean,
no one. I mean, none of them are.
No one. I mean, yeah, they, you know, everybody thinks that everybody owes somebody something. And then, and you know what? They don't. I mean, it is what it is. Things happen, and that's how the world evolves. I mean, but I commend Apple for doing this. I mean, it's, sure, they're investing a lot of money in this. I mean, I agree 100%. It's the housing and affordability of it actually costs a living. Living in San Francisco, the Bay Area, and that whole area there it's impossible.
Yeah,
I could never live there. I mean, I'd be making some serious amounts of money to afford, you know, a small studio apartment. Really, is how it really is.
It's like $3,000 a month just for for like a studio apartment, something like that. And, you know, here's the thing. Most of the people, or a lot of the people that are homeless, it's not like they had a home and then Apple came in and they got priced out of those homes. For the most part, these are people that have pretty much always been homeless. I don't know how many people have been to San Francisco lately, but the entire place has fallen apart. I went to the last seven Macworld Expos there, and it was like year after year after year after year, it got worse and worse and worse, and it, you know, you could not pay me to live in San Francisco. I certainly enjoyed my time there, and I certainly enjoyed going around the city and seeing some of the sights. I wouldn't want to live there.
I spent time in Fisherman's Wharf, and I'm just homeless people every block. It's incredibly sad. It's incredibly
but you
sad.
You can't blame Apple. You can't blame Google. You can't blame Amazon. You can't blame all these big tech companies that are there because they're pumping money into the economy. No matter how you want to look at it. Anyway, let's get off. I mean, we're not gonna solve the homeless crisis in San Francisco any more than Apple is going to be able to do it. This next one is something that's starting to kind of crop up more and more. Tech employees pushing back against their own companies for selling to military and government agencies, specifically agencies like ICE or other agencies that have to do with immigration policies that some of these employees don't like. Some of these tech companies are now beginning to not so much push back, but they're starting to make conciliatory, that's not the word I'm looking for. I guess it is, conciliatory noises toward what these employees are doing. And I got to say, 20 years ago, they would have said, okay, you should probably go work someplace else. Do you think that these employees have the right to tell their companies who they should or should not sell their products to?
No, I don't think they should. I mean, it's their choice. I mean, it's a free country. It's a democracy here. We're not told what we can and cannot do. What are we in China? I mean, it's not. Yeah. We should be able to choose to be able to sell to whoever we so choose. I mean, that's how the
world. And if you as an employee aren't happy with, you know, the products of your labor being sold to agencies that you fundamentally disagree with, then you should probably go work for someone else.
Right.
You know, find a company that is more suited toward whatever your politics are and work for them. Yep. You know, I mean, no one is obligated, especially, you know, the companies that you're working. And it's not just the big tech companies. You've got this whole thing going on right now with a lot of the digital media companies. I know Deadspin had all their employees, you know, suddenly just walk off because the company that bought most of the leftovers from Gawker, when that whole thing fell apart, was basically going, look, Deadspin was supposed to be sports with some politics, not politics with some sports. So when they bought, I can't remember, I think it's Go Media, something like that, they bought a lot of what was left of Gawker Media and said, look, we want you guys to concentrate more on sports. And when the executive editor wouldn't do that, they got fired. And then a lot of the other people walked off the job. Yeah. And the problem with that is you're working in an industry where there's a lot more talent than there are jobs. So it's not like in the tech industry where there's a lot more jobs than there are talent. This is the complete opposite other way around. Right. There are writers who are desperate for these kinds of jobs. And it sounds from what I've been reading, Deadspin, the editors for Deadspin basically were like, okay, well, you know, they're hiring these other people, putting out their articles, but not putting their names on it. You know, they're providing them with some anonymity so that, you know, the people that are writing for these companies that these other people have fundamental disagreements with as far as the content goes, can't come back at them and can't, you know, organize some kind of boycott or whatever against those people. You know, it just seems like everybody is just so pissed off these days. And yeah. This isn't even really about Trump. This has been going on for, I would guess, like the last 20 years. Now, the internet originally, and I'm going to get off this soapbox in a minute.
Yeah.
The please. Internet was supposed to bring us, together, was supposed to cross the boundaries of communication and allow people from, you know, with different ideas and different cultures to get together and compare them and talk about them and debate them. And instead it's turned into this insane clown posse where if you don't agree with group A or group B or group C's, oh, stop that stupid Mimo. Come on, stop. Are we still? Oh, no, we're off, but it's still recording. Okay.
I lost Facebook.
Yeah. What happened?
Now it went back as live. Now you're back on live again.
Are we back on live again?
Yeah, we are.
Okay. It probably just didn't like what I was talking about.
Yeah, we're back live again.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad we're...
But it bumped everybody out of the chat room, though.
All right. Well, hopefully they'll come back. They'll just do a refresh. I'll get off of all this and I'll just say, you know, just respect other people's opinions as long as they're not actively trying to hurt someone. Just let them have their opinions. Just let it go. You know, don't be so angry all the time. Everyone I see on Facebook is always so pissed. And everyone I see on Twitter is always, rah, 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 rah. It's like, shut up, all of you. Stop being so stupid angry. And it's stop. You can be angry. Don't be stupid angry.
Yeah.
That's what I say. Don't be stupid angry. Yes. Okay. last story before we get to the main stuff. Xerox, with a huge bid to acquire Hewlett-Packard, HP, and the weird thing is HP is like three times the size of Xerox. Now, they both kind of sell the same products. You know, they're in the printer, digital media space, and so they're direct competitors. But the fact that Xerox at one-third the size is trying to buy HP just kind of blows my mind.
Yeah, well, with me and his experience working in the enterprise with both of these companies very actively for many, over my 20-year-plus career in IT, I could tell you this is just a mind-blowing news story. You got Xerox, you have HP, which is a $29 to $30 billion estimated value company, and you have a $9 billion company in Xerox.
Right.
Now, granted, Xerox has started its growth. They're still a copier company, believe it or not. They still sell copiers. They still sell some printers.
We still have copiers. We still have copiers in our office.
So same here. So I'm not saying their products have been decent. HP, on the other hand, has got their hands in all kinds of different businesses. I mean, if you remember, they spun off their computer business, then they brought it back. They spun off their printing business. Now they have a separate enterprise division, and they have a separate consumer division. So they're kind of trying to reinvent themselves. But you know what? There's going to be a lot of debt that Xerox would absorb with this merger. That's for sure. Who knows if there might be more spinoffs? It's very possible, just as I described. You know, HP may just say, oh, well, we won't agree to this unless you spin off some of these divisions, because we want to get
some of their money back from what we want
all that excess crap off. We don't want any part of it. So I could see that happening, but boy, this is a reach. I just don't see it happening.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It'd be interesting to see what the bid is to see what Xerox could, Xerox couldn't even come close to affording what the value is, but who knows? HP may agree to something less.
And remember, these are probably the two biggest players in the space that they play in. So what's going to happen? I mean, and not even talking about U.S. regulators, but the EU takes kind of a dim view of some of these big mega mergers, especially when it's taking away competition. Whoops, sorry. When it's taking away competition from one space or another. So, the EU swings a pretty big stick these days. You're talking about almost all of Europe at this point. And if they say, no, we don't want you to do it, there's a darn good chance that it won't pass, that, they'll just give it up.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. HP earlier announced that they're going to be cutting at least 7,000 to 9,000 jobs by 2022. Mm. So HP has to make itself lean as well. They've already committed to that. So, like I said, Xerox and HP both rely on a very dying business of sales and profit. It still sells copy machines, printers, but again, primarily now for corporations. So sales are dropping. Less and less companies are printing. I can attest to that. You guys still got to be able to print something. More and more tablets are out there now, but I don't see it there just yet. So the printing business, I think, is going to still be around.
We have a Brother Color Laser that I picked up a couple of years back. And it's been great for the few times that we actually need to print something. And it's one of those things where it's great to talk about having a paperless office or a paperless home or however you want to just describe it. But sometimes you just need that paper. You need it printed out, either to give to someone else or as a backup. I know whenever we travel, especially as a family, besides having all of the digital boarding passes and notes and everything else, I'll take all the information for our trip and I'll print a single copy of it and we'll take that with us. Cause I mean, you never know. You could lose all of your stuff and really, really need those, that printed version of whatever it is that you're trying to do. Yeah, okay.
For sure. Sure.
Yeah. Let's go over to the main story, main stories. And the first one is going to be, you're going to review. Now you picked these up, what, last week, the AirPod Pros?
When they came out. They came out last Wednesday. They are sold out, by the way.
There are, yeah. Well, I mean, I know that there were like lines to get these things, which kind of blows my mind.
No, actually not. There was not, because I went into my local Apple store on Wednesday last week,
right?
And they had a big stack of them sitting on a table. I was like, I thought for sure these would be sold out, because usually what I would do is I would order them online ahead of time and then have them pick up at the store, and then just do it that way. Because the reason I did it this time is because I had a bunch of gift cards, and right. I'll get into that in a minute. But but when I got to the store, I was like, God, you guys got a ton of these, and no one's breaking down the doors to buy these yet. So yeah, nothing yet. So Wednesday they were fine, but by I went into the store yesterday, since my wife we decided to get her an iPhone 11 Pro, so she's a happy lady. We were in the store and they told us, oh yeah, we're completely sold out right now. There's no stock, and I haven't looked online here to see when where the delivery dates are yet, but yeah, it's sold like crazy. But it kind of worked out good, beyond the fact that I was sick, I was able to take these on my trip to Vegas, which allowed me to be able to test them firsthand on an airplane.
Were you sick when you left on a trip?
I was getting sick, yeah, and I got it. Thursday was when I left last week. So I was able to get a good feel of it during that time, but I used them both there and back, so it was still a good test. But you know what? I am insanely impressed with this thing, with these new AirPods, and I think all the reviews, if anybody's looked at some of the reviews that are out there, can attest to that too. Is the fact that being able to have noise canceling in an AirPod, besides the fact, you know, Bose has been doing it for a while, I'm just impressed at how Apple was able to pull it off, because not only do you have on the fly by just touching it, and I want to mess with this because I won't be able to hear you, but you right. just tap and hold this thing. It's got a button in here that allows you to be able to change it between the different modes. There's turning off everything completely. You have noise cancellation, which basically isolates the sound. Obviously hard to describe. You have to really listen to it to find out. And then transparency. Transparency will allow you to be able to hear what's going on in the background, but you can still listen to your source, whether it be music or you're watching a video or whatever. So the other really cool thing they have is in the app on the iPhone, you are able to do what's called an AirPods test. It actually tests if your ears are sealed properly with the AirPods. And AirPods, and if they are, it's going to say left one's good, right one's good, you're golden, because it does come with the rubberized earpieces now, which is cool.
Yeah, it's so got three different ones, right?
Three sizes, right? I put in, I think the ones I have actually are medium. I don't have the real large ones, surprisingly, because my ears are not that big, but they're a good size. But I've got them in now. They're solid. I'm not hearing anything in the background. I actually had it set for transparency for this, but if I change it to noise canceling, then it'll isolate 100%. The little case, they changed it. I have it on camera here. This is the size of it now. It's a little different than what the old one was. And you know, you compare the two. I got the one and two here. Lot different. I mean, you don't even know.
When you open bizarre. The case, where do you set the AirPods in? Go ahead. Can you open that for me?
I'm gonna hope it doesn't.
Do they just fit in the top like the old ones did?
Yes. So there's. It's hard to see on the camera, but they set in there. And at first, I was having some challenges because you know it's already a challenge with you and me both with big fingers trying to get these things out of the case.
Sausage is how I refer to.
Yeah, exactly. Sausage fingers. On the top here, you actually can put your finger right onto the where the AirPod is and kind of flip it, and then it pulls out. I at first was grabbing the rubberized earpiece at the edge and then pulling it out, but you can just flip it out and it, flip it towards the front and then it comes right out. It, and then they seem to work real well. The view, if anybody can see it, and Frank knew right away that I had them because you could see how much shorter they are than the old AirPods were.
And they're curved, too, a little bit.
And they're a little curved, too. So they're almost, yeah, you can almost hide them. I mean, the other ones were more obvious. I'm a huge fan. Now, granted, I was very lucky. I had a couple of gift cards and some cash to pay for it. So it only cost me $96. But they are $250, which is expensive. Right. And that's what, so you got to think about it. If you're in the market for new ones, I'd say, yeah, check them out. See if it's something you can get into your budget. The old AirPods, they're still going to sell them. I don't know why, but they are. And there really isn't much of a difference in price. I mean, even though if you get the one with the wireless charging, which this does have, but I don't find the wireless charging to be of anything real exciting to me. I'd just rather just plug it in to a lightning cable and be done with it. Because that means you have to have a pad. I charge my phone on a different wireless base, so it wouldn't do me any good, but it does have wireless charging. The other wireless charging ones that are the old AirPods are $199. So why would I spend $199 for those when I can spend $249 for the new ones when they have all these other features? They're even still selling the ones without the wireless charging, the AirPods, which are, I think, are like $159. So I would venture to say, especially Christmas time, if people want these AirPods and they don't want to spend the money, they may lower the prices on those. Hard to say, but highly recommend these. And I don't think there hasn't been too many huge negative reviews. I mean, they've got their quirks. Don't get me wrong. You can change these settings on this on the stem too if you want to change it to Siri instead. And I hope I didn't get everybody's Siri go off. And you tap and hold it, and then Siri will activate, or you can just leave it for changing it between the different the noise controls.
Have you had, because I know some people with the older style AirPods had problems keeping them in your ear. Did you have that problem with the older version?
For the most part, I did not have too much of a problem with it.
Neither did I.
You're using them now, so you obviously they're right okay here. For you. So, for the most part, I hadn't had a problem with them, but I was really intrigued about the noise cancellation. I've got a pair of the Bose, you know, QC35s, which are awesome over-the-ear headphones, as well as I had the Beats Pro. I got those free when I bought my Mac, so I don't like those Beats Pro headphones at all. I'm not a very big fan of all of those. But headphones are a little different. You know, you use headphones, and you also use AirPods. It really is the application of really what you want to experience. I mean, these aren't going to beat over-the-ear headphones. I mean, I think the QC35 is by far probably one of the best headphones out there for noise cancellation.
Sure.
But these are pretty gosh darn close for having something lightweight, especially when you travel. Because I'll be honest, it's a pain to have to lug out those headphones and have to put them around your neck and then carry them around with you when you're traveling. So,
because usually when I travel, I usually have like podcasting equipment with me, so. I have to bring some regular over-the-ear headphones just so that I can, you know, take care of business. Because while, you know, I haven't tried the new ones, of course, but, you know, even the older version Apple AirPods, they sound pretty good, but they're not going to sound as good as over-the-ear headphones. Over-the-ear, especially over-the-ear monitoring headphones that you would use, whether it's closed back or open back, for depending on your preference for monitoring or editing audio.
And an interesting thing, Apple did not ban any company from making third-party the rubber cups on it. So don't be surprised if they haven't already released them that you have 30 third-party companies, because the way these AirPods come off, and it almost feels like you're going to break it. You have to pull them really pretty good to snap them off the AirPod.
Oh, you're talking about the little rubber piece?
The rubberized to change them out, right. So, and then once you take that off and then you put the other one on, it snaps on pretty easily. There's two little clips on one on each end on the AirPod itself. But don't be surprised you start seeing a lot of these third-party companies, if they haven't already, I'm sure they have already, have created these AirPods because maybe these sizes aren't the right size that maybe people think. You know, Apple, they said Apple spent a long time and hundreds, if not hundreds of thousands of people testing to see who had what was the average size ear. So they went through and did some testing and measured it. So,
and you know, I've tried a couple of different wireless earbuds, mostly relatively cheap ones, because especially when I first, right. You know, before I bought these, because even, you know, even these were $200 when they first came out, and I could not find a pair that would fit comfortably in my ear in the same way that these do. And you're telling me that the ones that you have, the AirPod Pros, are even better. So
it's AirPods Pro.
It's not AirPod Pros. It's AirPods Pro.
Pro.
Got it. Okay. Well, I am definitely, because I know at the stores they've got, you can try them out in the stores, and they actually have like little AirPod condoms that they put on so that different people can try them. And you're not going to have other people's, you know, gross earwax going into your ears.
Now, I just looked online to see the availability as of today. Order today delivers November 21st through the 29th.
So, wow. So they're way out of stock.
But they do say you can pick it up at my local store. So that's interesting. Maybe they do have them in stock at the stores. You know, it's hard to say. All the stores in my area are showing they have them in stock. Interesting. So,
now our next story, I cannot find. Oh, there it is. I was guessing because I was actually telling Dave before we started. Now make sure before we start this next story that you have the link to the original site or to the site that has all this information, because we're gonna go in depth, and then all of a sudden we were getting ready to go to it. It's like, I can't find the site, but I did find it. And for those who are playing along at home, it's Reuters, so they're relatively trustworthy. And what we're going to talk about is the streaming wars, you know, and that's hence the name of the show tonight, What's on TV. Now, Apple TV Plus just started up last week, and the next one that's coming up is on the 12th, I think it is. Disney Plus is getting ready to start their own service. And this is also, you know, they're all in competition with Netflix and Hulu and all of these other streaming services, and there's a lot more of them coming down the pike. And we're going to kind of use this story from Reuters as a guide to, because I mean, there is so many different options out there that it would be impossible unless I just copied this page verbatim. But we're not going to do that. We're just going to talk about, you know, what's out there right now, what's coming up, and what you can expect from a lot of these different services. And we'll just go right along with what they're showing here. The first one they've got here is Netflix. Plans range from about $9 a month to $16 a month. You can get it as part of Comcast's Infinity package, which I wasn't aware of. Not going to talk about the overseas stuff because...
It'll kill our time if we do.
And now Netflix has a lot of original programming. And this was something they started up a couple of years ago. I think they kind of saw the writing on the wall and realized that they had to do something to kind of set themselves apart from the other services out there. And a lot of the programming that is available on Netflix is award-winning program. Stranger Things, Orange is the New Black, I know there's other ones too. They don't really have them listed here. They have a huge television library. I don't know why they listed Seinfeld. I mean, that's a show that's been off the air for 20 years now. The Office, Breaking Bad, Dexter, Supernatural, which is a 15-year-old show that's still going on, the huge movie library, and for people that currently have Netflix, you might want to do a quick watch of a lot of the Disney properties, because I get the feeling that, now I could be wrong here, but very, very soon, a lot of the Disney titles are going to go away and they're all going to get moved over to the Disney Plus service when that comes along. And the great thing about Netflix is that it's available pretty much everywhere. And I love the four exceptions they have here. China,
yeah.
North Korea. Oh no, I can't watch Netflix in North Korea. The Crimea and Syria. Shocker. Okay, the next one is Disney Plus. Currently, it's going to be going for about $6.99 a year or $6.99 a month, $70 per year, and you can get it in a. Now, this is something I just read about a couple of days ago. You can get it as part of a bundle.
Yep.
With ESPN Plus and Hulu, which makes this much more enticing, for $13 a month. Now, yes, that is much more expensive than other services, but it's certainly in the same lines as like Netflix. Now, because it's Disney and Disney has basically bought practically the entire rest of the world as far as content goes, you've got Star Wars stuff, you've got all the Marvel stuff, you've got, you know, the huge library of Disney properties going all the way back to the 1920s and 30s. Tremendous movie library, including some real classics. And it's going to be available on November 12th in the United States, Canada, and the Netherlands, and November 19th in Australia and New Zealand. And it kind of surprises me that it's not going to be available in the UK yet.
That is surprising.
So why don't you take the next one there, Dave?
All right, so we're moving right on to Apple TV Plus, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that one only costs $4.99 a month, but free 1-year subscription if you have a new iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, Mac, or Apple TV device.
Right.
That's what I got for free. I got it for free because of my iPhone, I don't care about India, but. Original programming right now is The Morning Show, which I'm really liking that show. I've watched all three episodes, and I know we had a discussion before the show.
I'm not that impressed.
For All Mankind, Are You Sleeping, Little America, Dickinson, Foundation, Home. There's a lot of new content. It's a brave venture, I must say, for Apple.
Yeah, and it's priced right.
It is priced right based on what they're offering. I think they're smart in the fact that they're, and it doesn't mention here, but I'm going to mention it, is the fact that they're only going to release one episode per week after this. So this initial, coming Friday, you'll have, this coming Friday, each of the initial shows that have the first three episodes, they're only going to release one episode per week. You know, so you're not going to be able to binge watch it right off the bat. Which makes sense because, you know, people can subscribe.
Well, with the exception of Dickinson. Dickinson has that entire show is available.
Oh, they did do the whole show with Dickinson. Okay, yeah. I didn't look at that. Okay, thank you. So it is available. It's available now. It came out November 1st. But, you know, this is the interesting thing. It's in 100 countries across the world. You know why? Because they own all their content. They own all of this content. It's their content. They can do with it what they please. It's not like what all the other services have to do. They have to go back and say, hey, can we put this in this country, this country, this country?
Right.
And have to go through a whole approval
digital
process.
Rights in all these different countries.
Right. So go ahead.
Other than The Morning Show, which you're much more enamored with than I am.
I haven't started watching other shows yet, so it's not fair.
Well, I was going to say, are there any other programs that you're looking forward to seeing?
Yeah, no, I want to see For All Mankind, for sure.
Which I really liked.
That's probably the next one. And Foundation, it'll be interesting to see Dickinson.
Now, is Foundation based on, was that Isaac Asimov?
I think
his
so.
His series of books? Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
That would be interesting, yeah.
So there's some shows that'll keep us busy for a while.
Siri, stop it.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see where it goes. I think Apple is it's brand new to this world, and we'll be talking about this in the next week or two. How many people are already on it subscribing? I mean, I doubt they'll give the numbers. Been already paying for it. Yeah, I binged all three episodes right away for the first that episode that show. So right. I'll try to do the others too. I definitely think check it out. Even they have a 7-day free trial. So even if you didn't buy anything and you want to be able to watch a few shows, just check it out. You have 7 days to watch them. So give it a shot. And then when we move on here to HBO. HBO right. is interesting because this is all motivated by the big blue AT&T. Because now that they own Time Warner, and HBO is going to go to hell in a handbasket because they have some really crappy business. That's all I want to say. HBO
you
Max
don't
is going
like
to cost
AT&T.
No, T-Mobile Sprint merger complete.
They rule.
So you're going to pay for HBO Max because they had three offers. They had two offerings currently, HBO Now and HBO Go. HBO Now is that similar service to what this Max is, where you'd pay for the HBO on its own for the same price, or HBO Go, which would be like basically an extension of the service you already pay for with your provider, which would be like with Comcast or Cox or whoever your provider is. So they're going to give discounts, of course, surprise to their AT&T customers and the HBO Now direct bill customers, because they're going to add some other stuff in here, including original programming, which will not be part of the regular HBO.
I think they're kind of, this is the kind of crap that CBS All Access tried to pull, where it's like certain content is only going to be available to certain customers, regular customers that are already paying for the service in one way or another. Right. And it's like, oh, well, you know, if you're not an AT&T customer, well, yeah, we'd love to let you see this, but we're not going to. And I think that's for the birds. And when, you know, HBO, of course, also has a lot of original content. I don't think it's quite as robust, or robust isn't the right word. Not as much original content as like Netflix has, but they also have a lot of highly regarded shows that you can only see on HBO. And apparently some of the acquisitions that they've done, there's a large television library that's coming. And I don't know if this is a plus or a minus. They have the DC Comics superhero movies, which for the most part,
Wonder
have
Woman,
left me like,
Aquaman, Dark Knight, Batman. So, and then the availability is going to be May of 2020. It'll be in the United States only, and it'll be in other markets later.
Yeah. Now, the next one is one that's been around for a while, Amazon Prime Video. It's about $13 a month if you have an Amazon Prime membership, which, of course, gets you free shipping on all of your Amazon purchases and other benefits. $9 a month for Prime Video only, which I'm kind of guessing most people aren't going to bother to do, I think.
Want that free shipping.
Yeah. And if you get even like once a month something from Amazon, just go ahead and get Prime, because it's going to save you money in the long run. It is. And they also have a lot of original programming. I have watched a few episodes of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And I've really enjoyed that. And they have an upcoming, they have a Lord of the Rings series that's coming. I'm not quite sure how that's going to work, since they've pretty much gone all through Tolkien's library already. So I don't know. We'll see how that's working there. Now you also got Hulu, which has been around for a while. And when Hulu first came out, I think they kind of stumbled. They were kind of, looking for where it was that they were going to go. And I think the current Hulu is actually pretty good. Something I would like to see front. I would like to see more cooperation between a lot of these companies so that they're not nickel and diming us to death with exclusive content. Yeah. And that's gonna take time. I don't see that happening anytime soon. But Hulu also has a lot of really good content, some of it original, some of it that you can't see anywhere else. And I guess, you know, in the long run, if you want to get the absolute most biggest bang for your buck, Hulu, Netflix are probably the two that should be on everyone's list in order to get the most stuff. And after that, you know, you've got, there's Peacock, which is NBC service that's coming out. You've got CBS All Access.
Free with ads.
Right. And you know what? CBS All Access should take a page from that book right there. If you're going to have a service that is going to include advertising, don't charge for it. That should be free. For the people that don't want to watch ads, great. You have to pay X number of dollars per month. But the advertising is supposed to offset the cost of the programming. And that's the subsidy that you and I and everyone else that don't want to pay X number of dollars per month for this content, we're willing to put up with just so that we can watch this content. And watching ads is part of that deal. So don't charge if you're doing that. That's something that has pissed me off about CBS All Access since they started.
Yeah.
And speaking of CBS All Access, that's the next one here. They have a lot of content, a lot of older historic content, because of course CBS has been around since practically the beginning.
1929. Of television.
Yeah, television broadcasting.
Radio, anyway.
Yeah. Now, their original programming, for the most part, has kind of left me cold. I'm not a huge Star Trek Discovery fan. I don't know how Star Trek Picard is going to go. I have watched some of the Star Trek Lower Decks, which has cracked me up. I haven't watched, and people have been telling me that it's great, but Twilight Zone, haven't really watched that yet. But those are like all of the major services here in the United States that are available. Yep. And before we get off this topic, a lot of people talk about cutting the cord. As a matter of fact, Geekiest Show Ever with Mike McPeak, Elisa Maselli, and Melissa were just talking about this on their last episode. And if you're interested in cutting the cord, I found this kind of amazing website that will kind of take you through the different types of services that are out there and the kind of content you can get. It's called Suppose, SUPPOSE.TV. And then you put in the market that you're interested in, and then you pick the channels that you want to see, and it gives you a layout of the different services that are available that will show you that content. It's really kind of cool the way it works. So check that out, suppose.tv. The last thing that we're going to talk about tonight, well, we're actually going longer than I thought we were going to. There's a conference or a creative summit that's going to be starting tomorrow, Dave. It's the Final Cut Creative Summit in Cupertino, and some are speculating that this is where the Mac Pro, the Pro Display, and the thus far unicornish 16-inch MacBook Pro might be launched. So we'll find out more on that when this opens tomorrow. I think most people are speculating on this because Apple did promise that the Mac Pro would be delivered in the, they say, the fall of 2019. Dave, did I lose you? I lost Dave. Okay, so I guess, are we still going here, or is everything dead? No, we're still going. Okay. All right, so sorry about that. The Facebooks have not been kind to us tonight. Tomorrow is the Final Cut Creative Summit in Cupertino, as I was just saying, and hopefully some of the stuff that we have, that Apple has been promising us, is going to be announced. And I know a lot of people have been speculating about a 16-inch MacBook Pro. Maybe that will come out too. No way to know. Again, sorry about all the trouble tonight. If you would like to get a hold of Dave and learn more about the stuff that he's doing. Wow, I don't know. Even Mimo is like locking up on me at the moment. Interesting. What is going on here? Why am I having so many problems? Okay. Alrighty. I guess we're just going to have to give this it's like, I don't know. Oh, here we go. There we go. Okay. Now I got more control. All right. Sorry about that, everyone. So Dave is locked up, and thanks, Dave. I'm sorry about all the problems tonight, everyone. If you would like to get a hold of Dave, here's some information on the stuff that he does, In Touch with iOS Podcast, and he's the president of the Suburban Chicago Apple's user group. So you can check those things out online. And of course, both of us are here in the Mac to the Future group. If you would like to see some of the other stuff that I do the My Mac podcast with Gazmaz and on occasion, not very much lately, Guy's Daily Drive. Oh, there he is. Dave is back. Hello, Dave.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. Everything just like went to total crap. How odd is that? It's pretty odd. So I was doing my typical pontificating. So,
well, I was going to make an announcement too, and I couldn't even do that.
I'm so sorry. I didn't even realize at first because I was so busy yammering away that I didn't even realize.
Nemo is what crashed. I just hate to tell you, but.
I don't know.
I'm just sitting there, and all of a sudden, Mimo's gone.
Well, the weird thing was everything was still going on Facebook, but I got this weird message, some kind of error message in Mimo in relation to Facebook. So I don't know what happened. It's impossible to say. But if you would like to contribute to the craziness that I do, and hopefully one day I'll get better at this. Someday. I've only been doing this now live casting for 2 years. I don't know why I still have all these problems. You can go to patreon.com/MacParrot. You can go to ko-fi.com, ko-fi.com/MacParrot, or paypal.me/MacParrot, and contribute to help pay for all of these things that I do, including my brand new mic preamp that I just got that I'm using professionally for the first time tonight.
Yeah. That could be why.
Could be why. I don't know. Everything else is the same. All right. Well, I think that is going to about do it for tonight, Dave.
Well, although I wanted to make an announcement,
go ahead. Oh, please. You have plenty of time.
It's about In Touch with iOS. InTouchWithiOS.com, as you probably didn't get me in my mention of that.
No, I did.
I had decided that I've been thinking about adding a permanent co-host to the show, and that has just happened. And that co-host is going to be Warren Sklar.
Oh, cool. And, so you guys will get together one other time besides being on this show.
Exactly. So we're going to do Mac to the Future Go. We'll keep going that as always. That's not changing. But Warren and I get along real well, and we both have a lot of good interests, and I think it's going to be a good fit for the show. And it's hard to get guests every week. I definitely have found that to be quite a challenge. But I'll still mix it up, have some guests here and there. So maybe Warren will need a break, or maybe I'll need a break once we get into the groove of things. But we just made that official tonight, just before the show started. So
excellent.
Just wanted make sure make that announcement, and
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah,
yeah. No, I did
a couple weeks ago. So,
I did. I did splash your splash screen and talk about how you do the intouchwithios.com, and you can find out more information on the In Touch with iOS podcast at intouchwithios.com, and you can subscribe to it in all of the various podcatchers that are out there.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. So I think that is going to about do it for this evening. Thanks to everyone who has stuck with us through all of the various weird-ass problems that we've had tonight. Really, really do appreciate the fact that you have taken the time to either watch us live or watch us over on Facebook afterwards or over here on over on YouTube, which is where I post the show when it's done, and then link it back into Facebook. I just appreciate the fact that you have taken the time to do so. I feel honored and humbled by it. So, Dave, are you on next week?
I should be, yes.
Cool. And hopefully Warren will be on with us as well. And again, we have an open invitation to the other admins at the Mac to the Future Facebook group to come on. You know, I don't bite hard.
Nope.
And you don't need much in the way of equipment, just something that'll pick up your voice and some headphones so that you don't feed back into yourself. And I take care of the rest. So that's pretty much it. So I think, again, that is going to do it for this evening. Thanks to everyone. Thank you, Dave, for being here.
Thanks for having me.
It was nice to be had. We're going to catch you guys next week. Have a great night.